Let us hear the word of God, and for our scripture reading, I turn you to the Old Testament and to that little prophecy of Habakkuk and to chapter number 3. Habakkuk, of course, is one of the minor prophets, and perhaps the easiest way to locate it in your Bible is to start at the end of the Old Testament and work backwards through Malachi, then Zechariah and Haggai, Zephaniah, and then you'll come, the fifth to the last book of the Old Testament, to Habakkuk. Habakkuk in chapter number 3. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known. In wrath remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise, and his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck, Selah. Thou didst strike through with his stave the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was asked to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Amen. Let us now come before the Lord in prayer. Lord, as we have read thy holy word, we thank thee that the Lord God, that thou art our strength, and therefore with Habakkuk we will rejoice in the Lord, And we will joy in the God of our salvation. For he that is our God is the God of salvation. We rejoice to know that salvation belongeth unto the Lord. And how we bless thee, Heavenly Father, that thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor hast thou rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is thy mercy toward them that fear thee. For thou hast removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. So far hast thou removed our transgressions from us. Indeed, the prophet declares that thou hast cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. And as thou dost look down from the court of heaven above, thou dost say of each and every one of thy blood-bought people, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Blotted out by the precious shed redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the one who taketh away the sins of the world. And we thank thee that if we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We praise thee that the blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We have been redeemed through his blood, and therefore have the forgiveness of sins. We thank thee for the precious blood of Jesus Christ, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, how we love to proclaim it. We come into thy presence this Sabbath morning to unite heart and voice in praise, in worship, in glad adoration of thy great and of thy holy name. Truly, thou and thou alone art a great God, the God of gods, the Lord of lords. Thou art greatly to be praised. As we read in that prophecy of Habakkuk, thou didst create all things by the word of thy power. Thou art the almighty and the eternal God of heaven and of earth. And thou dost sit upon the circle of the earth this morning hour, and the nations appear before thee as a drop in the bucket and as grasshoppers. The very powers that be are ordained of thee. Thou art the sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise. We bless thee, our Father, that thou art working all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to thy purpose. Everything in time, everything in the history of this world is under thy sovereign control. And though we live in a world and in a nation that has turned its back upon thee, turned its back upon thy holy word, though we have rulers that seem to desecrate thy day and seem to trample underfoot thy holy word, yet our Father, our confidence is not in princes, not in politicians, not in great statesmen, not in the political class. We trust not in princes. Our confidence is in the Lord of hosts. And as Habakkuk cried to thee, so we too would cry to thee that in wrath thou wilt remember mercy. The church in this land deserves to be blotted out of existence for its rebellion against thy word. This nation deserves to be uprooted from its foundations and cast into the depths of the sea. But thou art a God who delightest in mercy. And therefore we cry to thee that whilst thou dost still have a remnant in this land, thou wilt look down from the height of thy sanctuary in heaven, look down upon us in mercy. Hear the cries of thy people, turn us and we shall be turned. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? We pray even this day for the preaching of thy word, the preaching of the everlasting gospel, that thou wouldst grant unction to all thy faithful preachers, and that the Holy Spirit will open the eyes of our understanding and show us wondrous things out of thy law. Be with Pastor Hetherington away in Cornwall. Pray that thou wouldst grant to him travelling mercies, and as he meets with thy people and as he ministers thy word this day, grant that fresh anointing of thy Spirit upon his labours. And pray that thy people shall be built up in their most holy faith, that sinners might be convicted and converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for this, thy church here in Hemel Hempstead. Thank thee for it. Thank thee for the faithful preaching. We thank thee for the saints of God that meet here week by week, that thou wouldst keep them united, that they might know that bond of peace, that they might know that fervent love for the brethren abounding and flourishing. Keep the devil at bay, we beseech thee, Heavenly Father. We thank thee for the dear children that gather here, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, and we commend them to thee and to the word of thy grace. Lord, thou knowest they have been brought up in a world that is increasingly hostile towards thy people and towards thy word. We pray for every child gathered here, that thou wouldst surround them from head to foot and all around with thy shield of sovereign grace. Keep their minds and their hearts fixed on the things of God. And we pray that from their earliest days they might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and Redeemer. We thank you for the freedoms we currently have in this land to go forth in the open air and to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the liberty that we have to gather here this morning hour unmolested. But as we gather here with such liberties and freedoms, we are mindful to think of those who meet elsewhere in the world, and our thoughts especially go to our friends on the Isle of Sri Lanka. Thou knowest that they face great difficulties in that little isle following the Easter bombings. We think of that dear pastor who lost two of his children in those Easter bombings. We thank thee for the two children that survived, but we commend that dear pastor and his wife and his surviving children to thee, that they might know during these dark and fearful days thy sustaining grace, that they might prove that thy grace is sufficient for all their needs. And we pray for Pastor Jayakanth and for others who this day will have already preached the words of eternal life. We hear that they can only meet now but once on the Sabbath day for fear of further attacks, and that they cannot meet without armed guards outside the place of worship. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wouldst protect thy blood-bought people there in Sri Lanka. And in these difficult and dark and fearful days in which they seek to serve thee, we pray that those who oppress them, those who persecute, those who would seek to destroy them might come under the power of the gospel of Christ and might be convicted of their sin, and they might cry to thee from the depths of their being to have mercy upon their never-dying souls. Oh, may the gospel of Christ flourish on the Isle of Sri Lanka, we pray. And so, Father, as we now continue in thy holy presence, and as we shall seek to sing thy praises, we pray that throughout this service, our Lord Jesus Christ, and that he alone might be glorified in our midst. Give us eyes for none, save eyes for our Savior and blessed Redeemer. Hear us, we pray. Forgive thou our every sin. Sanctify us through thy word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please turn with me in the Word of God to the Psalm number 3. Our first praise today was the singing of the metrical version of Psalm 3. Now let us hear Psalm 3. It has the title, A Psalm of David, when he fled from Absalom his son. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which serve my soul. There is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Whenever I read the Psalms, I always read the title to the Psalm, because there is clear evidence that in the very earliest of the Hebrew manuscripts of the Old Testament scriptures, the titles were always included. And we are told here this is a Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. So the setting of this Psalm is King David fleeing from the royal palace. In the dead of night, he crosses the brook Kidron and went with just a few faithful followers to hide himself for a while from the murderous fury of his rebellious third son Absalom. And we do well to remember that every psalm is messianic. They all speak of Christ. And David, of course, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read of David crossing that brook Kidron, our thoughts immediately think of David's greatest son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Following the Last Supper, he too went with a few faithful disciples across that same brook Kidron and climbed that same slope of Mount Olivet as he entered into the Garden of Gethsemane. So we do well to remember that this speaks also not just of David, but of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have three verses from this psalm I want to draw your attention to, but one word in particular. The three verses are verses 2, verse 4, and verse 8. Verse 2 reads, "Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah." Verse 4, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah." Verse 8, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah." Three verses. But one word occurs at the end of verse 2, at the end of verse 4, and at the end of verse 8. That is that mysterious word, Selah. You see, when we turn to the Psalms, we stumble across this strange, this mysterious word, Selah. It is without doubt one of the commonest words in the Psalms. And not only were the titles put on the most ancient Hebrew manuscripts, but this word Selah is to be found in each and every one of them. And this word Selah is only found in one place outside of the book of Psalms. That's why I read from Habakkuk chapter 3. Three times in Habakkuk chapter 3 you will come across this same mysterious word, Selah. But then as you read Habakkuk, it was to be strung and accompanied by stringed instruments. So in reality, Habakkuk chapter 3 is a psalm. This word Selah in the book of Psalms occurs 71 times. In 16 psalms, it only occurs once. And then in 15 psalms, it occurs twice. And then in 7 psalms, Psalm 3, Psalm 46, for example, it occurs 3 times. And in 1 psalm, Psalm 89, it occurs 4 times. So 71 times in total in 39 different psalms, and also to be found 3 times in Habakkuk chapter 3. Why is it there? There has to be a reason. The Apostle Paul declares that All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. One cannot imagine for a moment Almighty God writing a book, the Bible, and then without rhyme or reason inserting a word that seems to have little or no connection with anything that has gone before or that follows after. Some preachers even suggest that it can be omitted without altering the meaning of the psalm. But why has God punctuated the Psalms with this mysterious word, Selah? What does it mean? Well, in order to try to understand what is meant by the word Selah, we need to note that it sometimes occurs as the last word of the psalm, but it never occurs as the first word of the psalm. Sometimes it occurs in the middle of the psalm, as at verse 2, verse 4, and at the end of the psalm, like verse 8, but not once in the 150 psalms does it occur as the very first word of the psalm, and that might give us a clue as to its meaning. It may end a psalm, may come in the middle of a psalm, but not once does it commence a psalm. And that suggests that it has something to do with the music. And that's why I find it strange that in the Scottish metrical psalms the word Selah is not included. You see, as the psalms were sung, often there would be some music accompanying the singing of the psalm, a stringed instrument, a harp. And the fact that it never occurs at the beginning but frequently comes in the middle or at the end of the psalm suggests that it may have something to do with the music itself. And those Hebrew scholars who have made a detailed study of this word suggest that it can mean one of two things. Either it is a crescendo mark in the music. There is a sudden roar of music. And the purpose is, of course, to draw attention to the sentence immediately preceding the word Selah. Those exiles who fled to Geneva during the reign of Mary Tudor, 1555 to 1558, they produced what became known as the Geneva Bible. And if you look at the annotations in the Geneva Bible, those exiles in Geneva put in the margin their explanation of this word Selah. They said it's a lifting up of the voice, a lifting up of the music, to consider the sentence that has just been sung, the vital importance, the solemnity of that which has just been sung. So that's one explanation. Others suggest it marks a musical pause in the music. The soft music that has accompanied the psalm gives way to a momentary pause of silence. And the purpose is, of course, for both the singer and for the hearer to meditate upon that which has just been sung. And therefore it seems that this word Selah is a musical punctuation and tells the singer of the psalm, the reader of the psalm, to pause, to meditate, to consider, to think of that which has just been read or that which has just been sung, to meditate deeply upon. Don't rush on to the next phrase. Stop, pause, meditate, consider the solemnity, the vital importance of that which we have just read, of that which we have just sung. And we will interpret it in that manner this morning. It seems that the Holy Spirit would call our attention to certain verses in the Scriptures of Truth. And in so doing, the Holy Spirit adds the word sila, pause, think, meditate, consider. Now in the psalm before us, let us consider the three verses which immediately precede this word sila. That is verse 2, verse 4, and verse 8. First of all, in verse 2, we have what I call Satan's lying accusations. Verse 1 reads, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. The word has never occurred in Scripture before. This is the very first usage of this word Selah. We are accustomed to reading the Psalms and almost ignoring the word Selah. But God has inserted it for a purpose. Before even we consider verse 3, we need to stop, meditate, pause, consider the solemnity of that statement there in verse 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. David wrote this psalm as he was fleeing from his son Absalom. You can read that in 1 Samuel 17. David, the lad who had slain the Philistine. The boy who had fought a lion. The boy who had wrestled with a bear. The man who contended with Saul. But now he is driven out of his royal palace. He has to flee from the royal city. And he is pursued not by enemies, but he is pursued by his own son, his own flesh and blood. And that is a direct result of his adultery with Bathsheba and the putting to death of Uriah. Absalom, the third son of King David. Absalom, of whom we read, procured the death of Amnon. And then he fled to his grandfather Talmai and remained in Geshur for 3 whole years. Eventually David permitted Absalom to return, but excluded Absalom from his presence for a further 2 years. And Absalom, having been reconciled to his father David, he longed for dignity, he longed for power, and he stole the hearts of the people. He left home on the pretext of paying a vow at Hebron and had himself proclaimed king. And rebellion spreads through the kingdom. And David flees from Jerusalem, rightly fearing what Absalom would do, not just to the holy city, but to David himself. And therefore, as rebellion spreads through David's kingdom, David could be seen leaving through the portals of Jerusalem. He crosses that brook Kidron, that dark brook Kidron. He walks barefoot across the valley of Kidron, weeping as he went. His heart is broken. He climbs the steps of Mount Olivet, passing the very spot which was to become the Garden of Gethsemane. And he is met by that ungodly man Shimei. And Shimei cursed David and picked up stones and threw them at David, calling David a man of Belial. Ah, David, God's finished with you. God is now rewarding you for your sin. And as David continues his exile, he is pursued by Shimei and an ever-increasing number that curse and throw stones at him. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. We read in 2 Samuel that the conspiracy was strong. Thousands of people gathered to oppose King David. Whilst all this is raging and around, every voice seems full of hatred and spite and venom. He says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. The Hebrew word here translated help is the very same Hebrew word which in verse 8 is translated salvation. It's the same word. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help, there is no salvation for him in God. And when David recalled what was said to him, he writes the word Selah. Let us think about for a few moments. I'm asking you to think of the utterly impossible. No help in God for him. No salvation in God for him. If the enemy of your soul should say to you this morning, oh, there is no help for you in God, there is no salvation for you in God. Oh, the horror of such a thought. The hopelessness of it all. If our hearts should say it to us, if the devil should whisper it to us, I for one would be in unutterable darkness. In absolute despair of soul, no help, no salvation for me in God. Can you imagine for a moment how King David felt as he heard Shimei and others? There is no help for him in God, no help for King David in God, no salvation for David in God. As a boy, he had rent a lion asunder. As a lad, he had slain Goliath. Then he had trusted in God. And God alone had been his help, his strength, his rock. But now, Shimei says, no help, no salvation for David in God. Think of that for a moment. No help in God. No salvation in God. No Jesus, Savior of sinners for you. We would do well to add the word Selah. No mediator between God and men. No Jesus with his sin atoning blood. No Jesus with his perfect righteousness. None to present my soul faultless before the presence of his glory. None to open heaven's gate. No high priest after the order of Melchizedek. No help, no salvation in God. I say I will be driven to utter despair. Think what the earth would be like. Think what the future would be like. No help. No salvation in God. What a dark, black, bitter thought that is. And David says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help, no salvation for David in God. Satan's lying accusations. Selah. But now, thankfully, we can move on and look at verse 4. And we see here in verse 4 the saint's response to Satan's lying accusations. Verse 3 reads, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. Think of that. Pause and meditate upon this glorious truth. In 2 Samuel 16, And David was pursued by Shimei and thousands. We read that he laid him down and slept and refreshed himself there. You tell me there is no help for me in God. Shimei, you tell me there is no salvation for my soul in God. But listen, Shimei. The Lord is my shield, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. When we think of a shield, we think of that which goes in front of a soldier to protect him from the onslaught from in front. But the word shield here is something that entirely surrounds the man, covers his head, covers his front, covers his side, covers his back. Thou art my shield. The Lord has surrounded David with a shield of omnipotent grace. The power of the Almighty God surrounds and protects David from all the fiery darts of the evil one. Thou art my shield, thou art my glory and the lifter up of my head. You tell me there is no help for me in God. But I cried unto the Lord with my voice. This was not a silent prayer. Here is David broken hearted. He lifts up his voice in prayer to God. He cries unto him. And you can read that cry, of course, in the Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out all my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I cry to the Lord. And he heard me. Sometimes at prayer meetings, we hear prayers like this. Lord, thou art a hearer and an answerer of prayer. And we understand the sentiments, we're not being critical. But it is a superfluity. We don't need to add the word "and answers prayer." Because when the Lord hears, he always answers. I cried unto the Lord in my voice and he heard me. His ear was attentive to my cry. David has considered the enormity of what Shimei has had to say. He has tried to take in the utter catastrophe of there being no salvation for him in God. And then he writes, but I cried unto thee. I cried unto the Lord. And he heard me. You tell me there is no salvation for me in God. You tell me he will have nothing more to do with me. But I cried to him and the Lord answered me and he sent Nathan to restore me by his grace. If there was no help, no salvation, no hope for me whatsoever in God, then why did he send Nathan to restore me by his grace and lift up my head once more? Oh, David was not a perfect man. He had committed sins which bring shame upon the gospel. But he has repented of those sins. And he has cried to the Lord. And the Lord heard from his holy hill, Selah. Does Satan, child of God, does Satan ever whisper to you, it's all over with you. You have sinned. You are no longer a Christian. You have grieved the Holy Spirit of promise. There is no salvation for you. There is no Jesus for you. There is no hope for you. There is no help for you. You have sinned willfully after coming into a knowledge of the truth. There is nothing for you now but a fearful looking forward unto judgment. Satan knows the scriptures, but he always misquotes them. And he always takes them out of their context. And I know Satan would turn the child of God to verses like that in Hebrews chapter 6. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. There, says Satan, there you are. No hope for you. On the evidence of Scripture, no salvation for you anymore. You're lost. And he will turn you to other passages like Hebrews 10. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Satan's finished with you. No help, no salvation, no hope for you in God. You've sinned away God's grace. You're lost. Stop praying. Stop attending God's house. Stop meeting with the saints. David says, "But I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah." Child of God, think back to the countless times when you too cried to the Lord and unmistakably he heard your prayer, your cries. The answers to prayer are cordials for the soul. As a church, we constantly need to think back to the many times when the prayers of the saints of God have been wonderfully answered. As individuals, as family members, we need to think back to the many, many times when the Lord has heard our cries and he has answered them. A saint's response to Satan's lying accusations is to think of the past mercies of God. Think of who our God is, a shield, the one who has lifted up our head, the one who has heard our cries. Selah. Satan's accusation in verse 2, the saint's response in verse 4, and then in verse 8, a Savior's blessing. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Think of that. What a glorious thought that is. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. It is not a man that willeth. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. It is not of works of righteousness that we have done. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord from first to last. It's all of God. He that hath begun a good work will complete it. He will perfect it. He will present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Salvation, you see, is God's possession. As the psalmist says in Psalm 68, he that is our God is the God of salvation. Think of all the other world religions. And salvation depends upon men and what they do. It all depends upon men, not upon Muhammad, not upon Buddha, or the rest of these. No, he that is our God is the God of salvation. This is a distinguishing feature of our God. He's the God of salvation. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thank God it does. For we, like David, were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We were sinners by nature, sinners by deed. We were the children of wrath, even as others, dead in trespasses and in sins, without hope, without God in this world. But he has quickened us together with Christ. Saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. You tell me there is no hope for me in God. You tell me there is no salvation for me in God. But I tell you that salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this dark world of sin not to call the righteous but sinners unto repentance. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He commissioned his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Saved from sin, saved from death, saved from hell. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. No, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Oh, it matters not that 10,000 rose up against David. Mattered not that Shimei and others cursed and threw stones and called David a man of Belial. Because the Lord's blessing was upon David. While all this was raging around him, he lay down and slept and refreshed himself there, as he flees from his own son. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Some 1,000 years after David, the Lord Jesus Christ, also in the dead of night, with a few followers, as he left that upper room, headed for Gethsemane, he too crossed that same dark brook Kidron and climbed up the slopes of Mount Olivet. And shortly before he enters into the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed that great high priestly prayer recorded in John chapter 17. But Judas had already gone on his treacherous deed. The high priest and his cohorts were already agitating the Roman authorities. Many there be which said of his soul, there is no help for him in God. Many there were that were increased against the Lord Jesus Christ. And as our Savior goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, he also cried unto the Lord, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Three times he cried in that garden and sweat great drops of blood. No sooner had he finished praying than the clank of Romish swords were heard entering that garden. A band of Roman soldiers, the religious leaders of the Jews, the Pharisees, and all the rest were increased against him, and he was taken by wicked hands, and he was dragged before Pontius Pilate, then Herod, and back to Pilate. Then before the massing crowds, Pilate stood, behold the man. Pilate, knowing that he was innocent, tried to release him. Shall I release Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? They cried for Barabbas. He is scourged, stripped naked, made to carry his own cross, nailed to that shameful tree. And there, as he was nailed to that shameful tree, many there were that said of his soul, there is no help, no salvation for him in God. Let God come and take him down now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. There's no help for him in God. But there on that cross, he bore his people's sins in his own body on the tree. Through the shedding of that precious blood, he put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. And he bows his head and yields up the ghost. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Do you know that salvation? Do you know the beloved Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ? For those who know Christ as Lord, as Savior, as blessed Redeemer, then the Lord's blessing is upon such people. But for those who know him not, what a fearful looking forward there is for judgment. This word Selah, very important word in the scriptures. And every time we come across it, the 74 times we come across it in the Bible, we do well to pause, to consider, to reflect, to meditate upon that which has just been read, upon that which has just been sung. Many there be which save my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah, Satan's lying accusation. But I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah, the saint's response to Satan's accusation. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah, the Savior's blessing upon his people. Selah, pause, meditate upon these solemn truths in God's most holy word. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.